Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I'm Steven Jensen. Today it is Saturday, February the 9th, 2019. Hope you're having a great weekend so far, and thank you for joining me again this week on the Weekender Podcast. I'm going to go through the topics of this week's episode, and then we will jump right into it. So this week, we're going to be talking Being the Elite. New episode went up called Handshake Agreement. We're also going to be talking some more content that the Being the Elite crew has been putting up lately, as well as AEW news. There was obviously some big announcements over this past week for AEW. We're going to go through that on this episode of The Weekender. Also, we're going to cover Impact Wrestling TV results for their show that aired last night on Twitch. We're going to be talking NWA, National Wrestling Alliance, new content that went up on their YouTube channel. And we're also going to talk Ring of Honor TV results for the show that aired last week on February the 1st. But before we get into all those topics, I always want to give you some stuff to watch online. So the first thing this week that I want to talk about is independentwrestling.tv, IWTV show to watch this week, in my opinion, is Freelance Wrestling, Sleepless in Chicago. So the company is called Freelance Wrestling. The show is Sleepless in Chicago. This show aired on February the 1st of 2019, and it was fantastic from start to finish. I'm going to tell you the matches that you can expect if you check the show out on IWTV, and they are as follows. We have a scramble match, which was one of the best matches of the year so far, in my opinion, in any company. We have Daniel Makabe versus Flip Kendrick versus Lewis Lydon versus Ricky Shane Page versus Alex Zane versus Craig Mitchell. Fantastic stuff there. We had Tony Noss versus Gregory Iron. We had KTB versus Chris Castro. We had the Take It Home Wreckers, Darren Corbin. It's so funny saying that because obviously Baron Corbin and WWE, the name is so similar. Darren Corbin, Mikey McFinnigan, and Bucky Collins versus the N-Words. That's the actual name of the team, the N-Words, and Eric Cannon. We have Eye Candy Elliott versus Sonny Kiss. We've also got Arias Tekka versus Jake Parnell versus Kobe Durst versus Gary J. That is a banger with a lot of guys that I'm very familiar with through kind of the independent scene in the Southeast region. We have Robert Anthony versus Tyler Bateman. And in the main event, we have an open challenge for the Freelance World Championship. Isaias Velasquez versus the, you know, incomparable triple question marks. The to be determined, the wrestler unknown. So check the show out. Definitely worth watching. I highly recommend it. There's so much great content over there on IWTV. Check it out. Check out this show that I'm talking about here with Freelance Wrestling, but also make sure to check out all their other great content. Once again, like to mention, not sponsored by them, not endorsed by them, just strictly a fan of their product and the fact that they have this awesome platform that's been able to congregate all of these independent pro wrestling companies. And they even have content from like way back in the day, back when independent wrestling was just kind of really starting as far as like how we know independent wrestling, you know, years ago. So they have stuff from, you know, 10, 15 years ago on here also, plus, you know, the newest stuff as well. So great stuff here. And I highly, highly, highly recommend you check it out. And I also want to give you a free match to watch on YouTube this week. The match that I've chosen is Bobby Fish versus Tom Lawler from Beyond Wrestling, American Rana 17. So this match happened in the year 2017 at the American Rana event, which is Beyond Wrestling's, essentially their WrestleMania show each year. I mean, it's their giant show. It's always fantastic from top to bottom. And you have Bobby Fish versus Filthy Tom Lawler. This was a really fun match, and it's something where it's a little bit different. It's way more kind of like MMA-based. So it's something that I think maybe if you want to change it up a little bit and try something new as a wrestling fan, or maybe you're into this already, or maybe you're like me, where you're a fan of professional wrestling and mixed martial arts, and you enjoy when the two worlds cross over in a really good way. And in my opinion, this match does that. So once again, the free match to watch on YouTube, per my recommendation, is Bobby Fish versus Filthy Tom Lawler from Beyond Wrestling, American Rana 17. All right. So let's get into the topics this week, and we are going to start with Being the Elite. New episode came out called Handshake Agreement. Starts out with Cody, Billy Gunn, and Christopher Daniels, and Daniels' mouth is blurred out. because they're still playing up that his chipped tooth is like atrocious or whatever. They call Hangman Page into their kind of makeshift office. Cody tells Billy Gunn to tell Hangman Page that he needs to work on his body, and Gunn's like, "Oh yeah, I've been working on this. I got this." And he just turns to Hangman and says, "You're fat." Then Cody tells Christopher Daniels in his professional capacity, which means, you know, Christopher Daniels needs to put his jacket on and be professional. He needs to tell Hangman to get in better shape, and he basically needs to tell Hangman he doesn't have the body to go full gear. So Christopher Daniels relays this message in a very PC way and suggests that Hangman covers his body, you know, wears longer, you know, tights, covers his arms and full body and those kind of things. And Cody says that Hangman will be fired if he's not in the right shape and tries to go full gear again, which is just really funny stuff. Hangman, it's funny, it's hard to explain, you know, verbally here, like how this all went, but essentially Cody's acting like Hangman can't hear him, even though they're all in the room together. So Cody's relaying messages through other people with them all sitting right there, and Hangman is eventually like, "I can hear you," you know, and just like walks out of the ring or walks out of the room. So funny stuff. Great start to the episode. Later on, we see Cody trying to offer Darby Allin a $1 million contract for AEW. Flip Gordon walks in, and Cody doesn't recognize him, which is really funny. Once Cody does, he's like real nice to him for a second, gives him a kiss on the forehead, and then Flip tells Cody to be careful about MJF, which makes Cody try to fight him, and they need to be separated. Like, Cody's getting held back by the locker room, basically, because he's trying to get at Flip Gordon for saying something, you know, impolite about MJF, his good salt of the earth friend. Also, we see Scorpio Sky asking Kaz about the time he had the Snickers. Christopher Daniels comes in, and they make fun of Christopher Daniels' mouth and his tooth or whatever. Daniels is covering it up with a red bandana. After that, we get footage of AEW invading Northeast Wrestling, which was really cool seeing those guys wrestling there. The crowd was wild. They were loving it. The Young Bucks make a handshake agreement with the Lucha Brothers. So Pentagon and Phoenix are going to be working with AEW. They don't sign actual contracts in the ring, you know, at the time of this episode, but they have agreed, you know, publicly to being a part of AEW, which is a great thing for AEW. As singles performers and as a tag team, Pentagon and Phoenix are insanely valuable right now to any company, and I think AEW was very smart to lock them up, and we'll be talking about them, you know, with some other stuff we'll be talking about this week on the Weekender, because they're involved with a lot of different companies right now, some major ones, some that have TV deals, you know, or, you know, Twitch and TV and these kind of things. So, like, it's interesting to see how this is going to work out with them and AEW, but hey, I'm all for it as a fan. And the episode ends with Kenny Omega on the phone with Nick Jackson. Kenny is talking about having to make the biggest decision of his life, and Nick's like, "Yeah, I know, man. Like, this really is a huge decision. This is probably the biggest decision you ever have to make in your life." And Kenny's kind of like freaking out over it. And Nick's just, he's like chill about it, but he's kind of like, "Yeah, man, like you're right. This is a huge decision." And it turns out that Kenny Omega is just talking about the new Resident Evil game the whole time. And of course, Nick is like, "I don't play video games, man. Like, what are you talking about?" And that's kind of where the episode ends off. But that leads me into my next topic, which is these announcements over the past week by All Elite Wrestling. So, what we found out at this latest, you know, rally that they did is, you know, the big news, of course, Kenny Omega has signed with AEW. He is the company's fourth executive vice president, and they also like formally announced the signings of Pentagon Jr., Phoenix, Trent Beretta, and Chuck Taylor, aka Best Friends, which are all great signings. We also got to see, Chris Jericho come out and confront Kenny Omega, and they had a brawl during the conference, which I'm assuming is leading to a rematch between the two at Double or Nothing. AEW also announced a partnership with Lucha Libre promotion AAA, and they work with companies such as Impact Wrestling, Lucha Underground, MLW, etc. So that's kind of, you know, the glue, it seems like, to these deals with people like Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix and stuff. The stuff I was just mentioning, like how are they going to work this out? I mean, they're figuring out a way. And once again, as a professional wrestling fan, I'm very happy that they're figuring out a way. It's similar to like in mixed martial arts, we're actually seeing companies outside of the UFC, like the quote unquote smaller promotions that are still, worldwide companies doing talent exchanges right now as well. Like we're seeing champions that fight in Bellator going over to Japan and fighting in Ryzen. Like we saw Darren Caldwell versus Horiguchi recently, which is like an interpromotional match, but makes so much sense for everybody involved. The fighters, the promoters, the fans, everything. It makes it better for everyone. So it's really cool to see kind of this happening in professional wrestling at this level with AEW. I'm very excited. As far as Double or Nothing is concerned, the current card, we just have two official matches, although it's pretty obvious that we're going to get Omega versus Jericho, and I'd imagine the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers. I'm guessing that's what we're going to get. But officially, we have Hangman Page versus Pac, aka Neville, which is going to be fantastic. And we also have SoCal Uncensored, the three-man team of Kazarian, Scorpio Sky, and Christopher Daniels, taking on Seema and two to be determined. Basically, he's going to have two more partners. Of course, they just haven't been announced yet. But really cool stuff. I'm all for it. I mean, I can't say enough good things about AEW and what they're doing. Let's actually go through their current roster. We have the full roster here. As far as the male wrestlers go, we have Chris Jericho, Christopher Daniels, Chuck Taylor, Seema, Cody, Frank Kazarian, Hangman Page, Jimmy Havoc, Joey Janela, Jungle Boy, Kenny Omega, Matt Jackson, MJF, Nick Jackson, Pac, Pentagon, Rey Fénix, Sammy Guevara, Scorpio Sky, Sonny Kiss, and Trent Beretta. And as far as the female wrestlers are concerned, we have Aja Kong, Brandi Rhodes, Britt Baker, Kylie Rae, Nala Rose, Penelope Ford, and Yuka Sakazaki. Yeah, I'm just gonna butcher the living hell out of that. Suck Azaki. There you go. Sakazaki. Terribly difficult for me to pronounce. But stacked roster for the male and the female performers that have been announced so far. In the backstage role, we have Billy Gunn, BJ Whitmer. Not sure who Jeff Jones is, or Michael Cularari. Just seeing this kind of like list of just personnel and stuff. But of course, excited to see Billy Gunn and BJ Whitmer being a part of it. So good stuff. Good stuff. I mean, AEW. What more can you say? I mean, their roster is so impressive with just essentially independent talent. And, all these rumors out there that they'll make a big play for, Dean Ambrose once he's available. Fightful's own Sean Ross Sapp causing, the internet to explode, talking about Randy Orton potentially being a part of the company. And for anybody who might not like be fully aware of what he was saying, when Sean was talking about this whole Randy Orton possibility with AEW, he was just saying that he was told that Orton was open to the possibility of listening to an offer at some point from them. It wasn't like Randy Orton is being approached by AEW right now, which of course Sean also made sure to be very clear that AEW gave him a statement saying they were not going to be tampering, meaning they're not going to talk to Randy Orton while Randy Orton legally cannot be talked to while he's under, whatever contract he's under with the WWE. So I think it's a pretty far stretch to say Randy Orton is heading to AEW at this point, but it is worth mentioning that there are some big time players in the world of wrestling that are going to be open to hearing offers at some point from AEW. So that is a big deal. I'm also seeing the stuff about The Undertaker, which I think is just kind of ridiculous. If The Undertaker pops up in AEW, I don't know what to say. I mean, obviously, it'd be a really big deal for AEW to be able to snatch him up, but I just don't, for one, I just don't see that ever happening. I mean, especially given, what Vince has given The Undertaker over the years, making it to where he pretty much has to wrestle once a year or like a handful of times a year and make a lot of money and have, let's just be honest, declining performances year after year and still be a focal part of the show. I haven't been that into anything The Undertaker's done in years, to be fully honest. It just really isn't for me anymore. And they still treat him like he's, you know, the top star of the company when he's there, which I understand why. I mean, The Undertaker's The Undertaker for a reason. He's one of the most well-respected guys in the history of professional wrestling, especially from like a locker room perspective. But to see him leave the WWE for AEW just seems like something that just will never happen for so many reasons. But I'll just throw it out there because that's a rumor. You're seeing this stuff on social media, him taking whoever runs his social media. Don't know if it's him, don't know if it's his wife, don't know if it's his manager, but somebody is taking like all the WWE references off of like his bios and stuff like that on social media. So take that for what it's worth. But AEW doesn't even really need these people. You know, that's what's so great about their roster. I mean, even someone like Sammy Guevara that a lot of people might not know about much about, like he's incredible in the ring, like incredible. So it's just a matter of people getting their eyes on him, getting more eyes on people like this. And that's something AEW is going to provide. So that's that for AEW this week. But man, am I excited to see what's next for them and looking forward to more of their announcements. All right, up next we have Impact Wrestling results. This show happened last night on the 8th, and the results are as follows. We have Rich Swann and Willie Mack defeating Jake and Dave Crist when Rich Swann pins Jake after a Phoenix Splash. Excuse me. We have a GWN moment where Pentagon Jr. defeats Austin Aries to become the Impact World Champion. We have Kara Hogan defeating Ali via pinfall with a spinning bridge fisherman's neckbreaker. After that, we have Johnny Impact finding out that he has to defend his title in a four-way match next week at Uncaged. The Lucha Brothers versus RVD and Sabu is announced as the main event for United We Stand on April 4th. That's crazy, right? That's crazy. Lucha Brothers versus RVD and Sabu? I'm all about that. Why the heck not? After that, we have Trey Miguel defeating Raju via pinfall with a Meteora. Trey is very, very, very impressive. I'm looking forward to seeing him do more and more with the company. After that, we had Sami Callihan defeating Puma King with a pile driver. And, you know, they continue to push Sami Callihan and OVE and, you know, he's becoming more and more of a focal point of like the whole show. And I know that he won Impact Wrestler of the Year this past year. So I'm really interested to see what they do with Sami Callihan going forward, because I feel like he's kind of at that point with the company where storyline wise and professionally, like, you know, it's like, when will he be kind of in like that world title, like the serious world title picture? That's what I'm interested in. Like, when will Sami Callihan be, you know, face to face with someone like Johnny Impact or like whoever the next champion is or whatever, because that's where I feel like they've been building with Sammy for a while now, but he hasn't like hit that world title picture quite yet, it feels like to me. So it's just interesting to me, but I do like the fact that I'm interested by Sami Callihan, because to be fully honest, when he went to NXT and became Solomon Crow, like he was great on the indies before that, and then the Solomon Crow thing just kind of soured me on him, because not necessarily that it was his fault, but it just really, it just didn't work out. And he was super overshadowed by the other people that came in around the same time. So it's cool to see him bounce back the way that he has in Impact Wrestling. The main event of this week's show, we have the Lucha Bros defeating LAX via pinfall to become the new Impact World Tag Team Champions. Pentagon pins Santana with the Fear Factor to get the win for the team and become the new champions, which is great. I mean, both teams shake hands after the match, and the Lucha Brothers end the show celebrating with the titles. No complaints here for me. You know, Impact continues to push new stars. They continue to build the people that they already have. You know, the Lucha Brothers, I just mentioned them before talking about, you know, their involvement in All Elite Wrestling. Well, they're involved in AEW, and they're also the current Impact World Tag Team Champions. So very great time to be a fan of Pentagon and Phoenix, for sure. And yeah, we'll see what's next for Impact Wrestling. But I've said it on past episodes of The Weekender, I'll say it again, you know, They just need to continue to do what they do. Continue to grow your fan base on Twitch. Continue just the slow and steady wins the race mentality. Just keep building your stars. Keep doing what you're doing. In my opinion, probably get the belt off Johnny Impact sooner than later. I just don't see much of him as helping the company necessarily as a champion. I get that he gets kind of like the outside eyes with, you know, his involvement in reality TV and that kind of stuff. And of course, he's recognizable from his work in WWE. But that's kind of the problem with me. He's still kind of like this WWE guy. Or he's even like that Lucha Underground guy. Like, he doesn't seem like, I don't know how to say it. Like, I'm not saying he's a bad world champion. I just think they have this whole roster of people that they can put in that spot. And you look at it as like, oh, okay, this is an Impact guy. Kind of like with, like, you know, AJ Styles. Whenever AJ Styles had the belt and Impact, you were like, okay, this is our guy. This is Impact's guy. Like, we need more people like that in Impact Wrestling that can carry that championship. And they're doing a good job building up new people that can become. Like, so this also, once again, talking slow and steady wins the race, this could be where they're heading. They could be just seeing, okay, where do we need to go? And like, who is that next person that we could have defeat Johnny Impact and try to make a really big deal with that next title change? I hope that's where they're going. And I'm going to, you know, once again, this is nothing negative. I think everything they're doing is positive. Impact Wrestling is doing a very good job with what they have. And I can't state it enough. Their product being available live for free on Twitch is a fantastic, fantastic move for them. It's a great thing. And I think it's going to only make their brand and their awareness that they exist and just, you know, expand their market so much, especially with the younger viewers who are, you know, watching Twitch anyways for video games and, you know, people like Ninja that they're a fan of watching Fortnite or whoever it is. Even if you're someone closer to my age and you watch video games and you watch people like Shroud or Summit1G or Dr. Disrespect or whoever your Twitch streamer, you know, favorite is, you might already just be on there. There's a lot of people that use Twitch on a daily basis. And you have that opportunity for someone even to just stumble across Impact Wrestling because of the way that Twitch is set up, which is awesome. And then the interactive element that you can have with Twitch with subscribers and donations and those kind of things in the comment section and the sidebar. I think it's a fantastic, fantastic thing that Impact Wrestling is on Twitch. So I'm just interested to see where they go from here. But like I said, all good things up to this point, but I would love to see a new Impact World Champion. That's just my opinion. All right, after that, we have some new content on the NWA's YouTube channel. We have a new series called NWA One Nation. Episode 1 went up 5 days ago, and it profiles Willie Mack. The other episode that came out, there's been two more, actually. So the next episode that came out was actually an NWA National Championship match. Willie Mack put his belt on the line against Jay Bradley. So that match is available for free on the NWA YouTube channel. Went up 4 days ago. And then just yesterday, there was a new 10 Pounds of Gold episode. Episode number 48 came out called Crockett Territory. So good stuff from the NWA. I like that they put out that free match between Willie Mack and Jay Bradley. That's really cool. They're doing more new series, so this new NWA One Nation, it looks like they're going to be profiling specific superstars, or specific wrestlers, I should say, on every episode, and it's good to start off with Willie Mack. He's got a lot of buzz about him, he's in a lot of different companies, I just mentioned him with our Impact Wrestling results. He's somebody that you could really build around, and I like that they're profiling him on the channel, and then also having that Crockett Territory, 10 Pounds of Gold, you know, you'll get some good flashbacks in there, some good stuff, some NWA moments of old. So good, good, good stuff from NWA. And I'm hoping that they announce another pop-up cup or another pop-up show, I should say, sometime soon. Because I'd like to go to another NWA show live. Their show in the fairgrounds, NWA 70, was a great show here in Nashville. And I wasn't able to attend the Clarksville show the day before Impact Homecoming, but if they continue to run shows near me and I'm free, I really look forward to going. So good stuff from NWA, and shout out to Billy Corgan because he continues to make great moves with the company. And of course, Dave Lagana, great stuff as well from him. All right, and the last thing we're going to talk about this week are the Ring of Honor TV results. These happened on February the 1st, 2019. And you know what? I'm just going to say this right off the bat. This show was awesome. This episode of Ring of Honor was awesome. Like, I highly recommend anybody listening to this episode of The Weekender, check out this episode of Ring of Honor. Just watch it from start to finish. It's like an hour long, probably closer to like 40 minutes or so with the commercials. Just great stuff. Great in-ring wrestling, great storytelling, great progression of the storylines. Just fantastic. This was a 10 out of 10 TV show from Ring of Honor, straight up. Honestly, there was nothing wrong about this show. I love this episode. Tracy Williams defeats Dave Finley in the first match via pinfall with the pile driver. Both men, you know, adhere to the code of honor. They both shake hands before and after the match. This match is so good. So good. Tracy Williams, since coming over to Ring of Honor, has been phenomenal. And he's somebody that I knew would do a good job. He's someone I've seen live multiple times in, you know, smaller independent promotions. He was the IWTV heavyweight champion when, you know, back when it was called the I already forgot the old branding. Powerbomb.tv World Championship. They just renamed it. So it isn't a different belt. They just renamed it from the Powerbomb.tv title to the IWTV title. But that said, Tracy Williams was a great champion for them. And it was cool to see him as like this old school, you know, mentality, you know, going territory to territory and all these different independent promotions across the world and defending that title just was awesome. Dave Finley, seeing him get more and more shine is a great thing. Obviously the son of Fit Finley, legendary wrestler. A lot of Dave Finley's work, you know, that I've been familiar with has been over in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So seeing the two of these guys in a Ring of Honor ring and having a fantastic matchup against one another was just two thumbs up for me. Just highly recommend you check out that match. After that, we had more of the same. Bandido defeats Mark Haskins via pinfall with the 21-plex. The 21-plex is that crazy, like, front flip springboard German suplex that Bandido does that I cannot even do justice by describing. Both of these guys, you know, shake hands before the match, and they just put on a fantastic, fantastic match. Just great stuff. The crowd was loving it. They were into it. Everyone was invested. Just great stuff. I mean, more members of this Lifeblood stable out there just killing it and just doing it for, like, the love of the sport of, like, pure wrestling, which I love. It's very refreshing. Juice Robinson being on commentary is fantastic as well. You know, during this stuff, it's just really, really great. Really, really great stuff from Ring of Honor. And in the main event, Silas Young defeats Eli Isom via pinfall with Misery, which is a spinning TKO. He becomes the number one contender to the TV title with the win. They announce Silas Young versus Jeff Cobb for the TV championship in 4 weeks. Jeff Cobb comes out and does a stare down with Silas Young. Shane Taylor comes out and low blows Jeff Cobb. Young and Taylor both leave the ring after Taylor tosses the TV title at Jeff Cobb. Like, Jeff Cobb, you know, lay it out on the ground, and Shane Taylor just kind of throws the belt at him as the episode ends. Another great match, and it progressed the storyline. And I love Silas Young. I've been a fan of his for a long time, and it's great seeing him in the spot that he's in with the company. Overall, this show was just fantastic. This might have been the best pro wrestling show of the entire week. Of any company, honestly. That includes WWE. I haven't seen this week's NXT, so I can't speak on that, but I can't imagine NXT even having a better episode than this week. I really, really, really enjoyed this, and this just continues to show you what I've been talking about week after week with, you know, Ring of Honor needing to, you know, to build brand new stars, similar to what I was talking about with Impact. They're a bit more established over there with the stars they have, you know, in the situation they're in. But with Ring of Honor losing just such a large majority of their stars when AEW started, that this is exactly what they needed to do. Like, what they're doing right now with Ring of Honor is exactly what I was hoping they'd do. Like, it's actually even better. It's even better than I thought they could do. So, Ring of Honor, two thumbs up. Fantastic stuff. Fantastic stuff from Ring of Honor this week. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing next week's episode, which is what it's all about, right? Like, they've got me hooked. I'm excited to watch their next episode because I'm hoping I see more people, more of these upcoming stars like Tracy Williams and Bandido, and watch guys like Silas Young, continue to rise the ranks. Because Silas Young is someone who's been in the company for quite a while and always had like an okay spot on the show, but now he's really getting some shine. And you got guys like Jeff Cobb, who, as Matanza and Lucha Underground, did really great stuff. And then he kind of had to rebuild his career as Jeff Cobb on the independent scene. And now he's getting a big chance to shine in Ring of Honor. And just great, 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 great stuff. Great stuff from Ring of Honor this week. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. If you want to check me out on Twitter, shoot me a follow at Fight Talk underscore. That's at FightTalk underscore. And I will be back next Saturday. Until then, y'all be safe and enjoy some pro wrestling.